You are listening to The Hemp Startup Journey. My name is Jason De Los Santos, co-founder of Spectrum Labs, a hemp extraction facility in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm sitting down with hemp entrepreneurs, scientists, and politicians willing to share their perspectives, lessons learned, and how we can make an impact on the hemp and cannabis industry for everyone.
We are live. Jade, thank you so much for joining me on The Hemp Startup Journey. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing great. And so first question, because I think this will come into play later, is where in the world are you?
So right now I'm actually in South Africa.
Okay. All right. Because I think every time I talk to you, you're like, oh, I'm in this part of the world. Then like, you know, I'm on the other side.
Yeah, I just came back from Montreal in Canada, where I plan on spending quite a bit of the year. So right now, South Africa.
Okay, great. And then what part of South Africa?
So I stay in Johannesburg. Most people know of Cape Town. I do go back and forth to Cape Town, but for residency, Johannesburg is where I stay.
Okay. And so in full disclosure, so Jade, you help our companies with some of the marketing, and one of your coworkers, Courtney, I always ask her about her town and she tries to educate me. I'm such a ignorant person about your country, but she always tries to explain
the same. Like,
where she is. And
Courtney is in another part. So she's in Durban, which is more like south side. That's the coast.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. She showed me some pictures. Looks beautiful there. Anyway, so I think we'll chat about, the world a little bit later. So, just to be clear, so what do you do? What's your company? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. So I am the founder of CannaScale. We recently rebranded, and previously it was called JDL Media, but we're essentially an email marketing agency for cannabis companies strictly. And we've been doing it for the past 4 going on to 5 years now. So that's kind of our bread and butter, is the marketing for restricted industries. And that's kind of our sole focus. And obviously, you just speak about Courtney, and she's actually my CMO.
Okay. And restricted industries, do you do anything besides cannabis?
No. So we have before. We've kind of, but more on the wellness side. Right now, it's cannabis, CBD, and hemp. And we try to keep it very niche because that's where my passion is. That's where our expertise are, especially with the challenges that face the industry, as you know. It's just where I feel like we're providing the most value.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever thought, just as the CEO, just considering possible other industries that are restricted that you could go into?
Yeah, actually, when we were going through our rebrand, that was one of the biggest conversations I was having with my team. It's just figuring out, do we want to pivot to something else? Because granted, of course, like alcohol brands, a few other brands are facing the same restrictions. And I did consider it, but I feel like it would be an injustice to serve the same purpose to people who don't have necessarily the same goal, if I could put it that way. Maybe at some point we'll pivot. I've considered health and wellness, but in terms of restricted industries, I think it just makes the most sense to stay with where my passion project is.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. So then related to passion and then your company and then the industry that you're working in, how the heck did you get started in cannabis? Like, out of all the different things that you get into?
It was almost not necessarily a mistake. So if I go back to where it really started, my family's always been very involved. My mom and father have always grown their own weed. And so it was more a self-smoking kind of thing. But the reason they started is because my mom actually got cancer. And this was when I was about 13, 14. So it was a young age. But she got cancer, and it was the only thing that she was using to kind of help her through it. And then likewise, when I was about 16, I came down with really terrible mental health issues. And I got fully addicted to antidepressants. And they were causing way more harm than they were doing good. So I figured, I needed to get myself off of them. And my mom actually put me onto my uncle's CBD oil that he was making. And at the time, I remember thinking, this is the only thing that's helping me. I don't really understand how I don't know where to get by it, first of all, why I can't buy it, and why it's just not being used. Obviously, you go to a doctor, the first thing they do is hand you a pill. So that was one of the biggest moments for me. And when it came to it, that was obviously my passion. I knew that it was helping me. I knew that it was helping my mom. So it was in the back of my mind. And at some point I started freelancing, a few years ago. And one of the first clients I had by chance was a CBD company in Germany. And the owner really liked me. And eventually I figured maybe this is what I should focus my attention on. I know it really well. And that's when I really pivoted and focused on it entirely. So in a way it was a mistake, but it had always been part of my life, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then in South Africa, what's the regulation like for hemp and cannabis?
So at the moment, it's progressing quite a bit. There are a few companies popping up now, and there's a few companies internationally that do stock their products at health and wellness stores, and my homeopath actually has a few. But in terms of legislation, right now, as far as I know, we only work with international companies, so excuse if I'm mistaken. But right now, it is only legal for home grow and home use. You cannot sell it unless obviously you have some kind of permit or some kind of exception. But getting licensing here is extremely difficult from what I've heard through the grapevine. And my father is still very heavily involved in the licensing process. So that's kind of where I feed off of a lot of the information. So it's not the best and it's not the most permitting industry at the moment here, but it is evolving as it is everywhere else, I suppose.
Okay. It's such like you mentioned something, it's such an interesting world that we live in that this is a good thing. Like, you know more about cannabis and hemp in other countries than in your own country. That's crazy. Yeah. That's
yeah, I know, it's quite bizarre. It is a pity that I don't know much more about here because, you know, it's obviously been a little bit slower in the process. But at the same time, I'm kind of hoping that does help in the end because I'm learning a little bit more about progressing markets and the more evolving markets that hopefully I can apply the same knowledge here. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird world that we live in where it's a bit different.
Yeah. And obviously the pandemic accelerated a lot of that, right? Just in being able to, figure out who you can work with and people in different countries and, you know, like companies like Upwork surged like crazy.
Exactly that. Yeah, that's exactly where we actually started, was almost in the midst of the pandemic. So 2019 Jan is where we officially registered and everything. And then of course 2020 was kind of where everything really took pace because everyone was looking at online options. So hence the pivot to different industries different countries.
Yeah, okay. And so then you have a deep connection to this plant and the industry because of what had the use of, or your mother using it and yourself using it. So I think that takes a bit of a different perspective, right? As opposed to just making money with a thing, which is, you know, okay, right? For the people's perspective, but you have an emotional attachment to it. Let's talk about your thing. So marketing and customer acquisition, just at a high level for the industry, like, what are the different ways that you can acquire customers? Like, what are we what are we seeing?
So in this industry, as you know, it's so difficult. I'll start with the bare basics that I see most commonly and that we actually used to do as an agency. So, of course, social media is the first one that everyone jumps to. It's the best way for organic. The only issue is that it's obviously pay to win. And in this industry, you can't pay to win. So it's a little bit restrictive, but that is one of the ways. And, you know, kind of pivoting off of that point, there's a few different things that people can do and that people do actually do to get that attention and get new customers. Number one is obviously putting out different content that is educational, content that catches the eye, content that organically grows because it's interesting. The second thing is influencers. So there's couples, I put it under the same category because that's almost exactly what it is. So a lot of ways that people can get customers is influencers. Obviously, with different platforms emerging like TikTok, it's becoming more and more popular to use influencer-generated content because it's kind of an intelligent way to use someone else's platform that's not so restricted. So there's a lot of ways that people do it, and it works just in a certain way. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. That's kind of the pitfall of relying on influencers, right? One of the other ways is banner ads. So that's more programmatic marketing. A lot of people take that method. It's just difficult to track. But, you know, getting banner displays on podcasts or on websites, news websites, et cetera, a lot of people go that route. More of the, I guess, in-tune ways or higher level ways is through paid methods. So that is lead generation, of course. That is utilizing B2B relationships and getting onto their lists or utilizing their lists to generate attention to yours. Likewise, using lists or rather, buying lists to acquire new customers and then advertising to them. There's a lot of legal background to that and a lot of complications to that, but it works. Then obviously paid advertising, some people do it through a little bit more of the sketchier ways, getting on websites that are not so restrictive. So I would say those are the main ways of acquiring new customers. The olden ways still work. If you're a brick and mortar store, I hear from a lot of our clients that are brick and mortar, frankly, foot traffic is still doing incredibly well, especially now that people are out and about. And then obviously the second way, word of mouth. I hear this more and more, and I think this is a very underrated method of getting new customers, is word of mouth and just having a decent enough brand that people are willing enough to refer you to a friend. I think that's a very underrated thing, and it's something you emphasize a lot with your company, working with you. Your customer support is number one. You really put your customers first, and from that, they feel valued, and they obviously refer you over to someone else. So I'd say at a high level, those are the bare basics to get new customers.
Okay. And then just for clarification, anyone who's listening, so one of our brands is Oliver's Harvest. And so that's who Jade and her team work with. And it's such a big deal because there are so many different companies out there, right? Like there's no shortage of CBD companies, whether it's in your local area or online. And there's got to be a way to differentiate yourself. That point, what I was going to say is that's one of the ways that we differentiate ourselves is just fast customer service and replying to folks. If we ever make a mistake, let's say shipping the wrong thing or something doesn't arrive on time, we try to be quick with that turnaround because there is a great opportunity when somebody's upset, right? I think I used to see it as like, oh man, somebody's really ticked off and like, we're going to lose this customer. And it's, you figure it's one of the best ways to make a lifelong customer when you screw up. They're already emotionally at a high state and they're pissed off. And if you change their world by giving them amazing customer service, like they will completely love you forever. So we don't screw up on purpose, but we do try to take advantage of those situations. Yeah. So then with, let's say that, let's start at a base level. Let's say that you're a starting company in hemp CBD, and maybe we're not ready to start working with a company like you. Like, what are one or two ways that you can get started in acquiring customers?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the ways that I found is very underrated. And, I just want to clarify this because it kind of adds to it. One of the things that we do when we speak to potential clients is we just do not bring anyone on who's too small or who we don't think we can get results for. And if that is the case, we always advise them on these methods that you've just asked on. So number one is obviously establishing a social media presence, right? But everyone's doing that. It's a very much a saturated market. And so the best way to go about it is to do something different off of the bat, whether that is in your products. Everyone's kind of offering the same kind of product. So are you competitive enough in your pricing? Are you competitive enough in your branding? Is it eye-catching? You really have to come in with a strong sense of what you're doing differently, because unfortunately it is coming to the point where, everyone sees another CBD product and it's not this aha moment anymore. People know what CBD is. They know what it does for you. So it's about who is delivering the best product. So obviously establishing that is most important. But in terms of the marketing itself, social media is free. Just set up an account, start putting out content. Most people will say the exact same thing. Just start putting things out. And I don't mean just a picture of your product. I think it comes down to being valuable to the end customer, because at that point, you're establishing a brand. People don't trust you yet. So one of the things we always say is, as a byproduct of educating your audience or potential audience, people do end up purchasing and converting. They end up trusting you a lot more. So I think it really comes down to how you're educating people about your product. So that's where you can really focus on doing something different. Everyone in the industry, unfortunately, is so focused on pushing a sale, and people do get to the point where they're a little bit too big to focus on the customer. So it just ends up being sale this, and here's this product, and here's this. Whereas if you take a step back, provide some genuine knowledge, provide some kind of content that is eye-catching, something beneficial, you know, people will latch onto that and they will remember that. Whether that's video, you know, and that's one of the things as well. I think focus on video. It's the best way to get organic traffic. And I mean this on every platform, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. The other thing is you're going to have to do a lot of the legwork and labor to go and literally scrape these people, get them to hear about you. So you have to be the first one to make the move and engage with them. It's very unrealistic to expect someone to message you first or reach back to you. You know, it just doesn't make sense as a starting company or a company with low budget. So you really have to be a little bit aggressive. And, you know, maybe it is not the best method. It's not the most morally inclined. But like I said, companies get to a point where they're too big to focus on the customer. So if someone else, another company comes in and reaches out to that same customer, you know, they're going to be thinking about who cares about them more. So that's another option. Going into Facebook groups, answer questions about CBD. I cannot tell you how many organic customers we used to get for our clients just by going into Facebook groups that were related to CBD. So CBD oil users UK, CBD oil users Denver, wherever it is, and actually communicating with the community. See what kind of questions people are asking and start answering those in the content you're putting out. Plus start answering them in the group. And as a byproduct of that, they're going to wonder where you're getting this information from and obviously see that you're part of a company or you own a company. So I think that's the best way, honestly, is organic and doing the legwork. Once you get to that point is obviously being a little bit more intelligent about where you're marketing and how you're marketing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Awesome. I like that. Basically just providing value to people on social. And it is a slow trickle, right? Like you're not going to get your first sale in the first day or who knows, might take weeks. Then that you mentioned a couple of things about differentiation. Do you see any part of the industry or any customer segment that maybe might not be served to? Because it seems like to me that most of the CBD companies that I see, especially when they're selling Delta 8 and Delta 9, they cater to the younger generation. The different offshoots based off of that. There are a lot of companies that have this very much like cannabis inspired, you know, marijuana type of like, hey, you know, like completely in your face, bright colors and whatnot. And then some other ones that are more professional, but do you see any type of segment that maybe is underserved?
Yeah, actually, I think it's a really good question. And it's tough to answer because obviously everyone's doing similar things just with different types. One of the things, and maybe it's a little bit too scientific or a little bit too direct, is nanotechnology. That's one of the things that I've noticed pick up a lot in pace. And one of the other things is I think people need to try and niche down a little bit. It doesn't necessarily stop them from acquiring other customers. But for example, I spoke to a company the other day and they specifically target their products, even though it works the same for sleep or however it is, you know, without making any medical claims of what CBD does, even though it works the same as every other product, what they've done is they've targeted to specifically recovering addicts. So they're picking a side niche. And even though the product works for every other ailment, it works for every other use, once you niche it down, people trust you a lot more to do that, right? They think that your product is specifically for that target and they just trust you a lot more. That is one of the ways, and it's not necessarily doing anything dramatically different, but a product for yoga users, people that maybe, like we see a lot of products coming up of pet-related, you know, pet-related CBD products, pet-related cannabis products. The reason people are doing that, quite frankly, is because the niched down areas are not being focused on. It's just general ailments. You know, if you think about the big players in the industry, that's what they're doing. In terms of products, I've seen a lot of different kind of products emerge. And one of the most interesting ones was a CBD inhaler. Again, that's more the nanotechnology. So I think thinking about ways to do things differently, because if you think about the top three performers, I always ask this to our clients, what are your best selling products? Number one, tinctures. Number two is some kind of capsules. And number three, edibles. You know, whether that's gummies, whether it's something else, those are the top three. If you can think of an interesting product to kind of segment into there, like a CBD honey or you know, something to that degree, I think you have a hand up in the industry because everyone's seeing the same stuff over and over again.
Hey, all. Jason here with a quick commercial break. I want to tell you about Oliver's Harvest CBD. If you're in the market for a vendor or manufacturer that you can trust, then look no further. Oliver's Harvest has been in the business for a number of years. They are GMP certified, and get this, they actually answer the phone. Crazy. If they don't, they call you back within one business day. Beyond that, if you're looking for, let's say, private label opportunities, so you want to carry your label or your brand on a hemp product, if you are looking for wholesale opportunities where you're selling the Oliver's Harvest brand in your store online or brick and mortar, if you are looking for drop shipping so that you don't want to touch the physical product and you just want to sell it on a website somewhere, or even if you have some crazy idea and you want somebody to figure out how to put it together for you, then Oliver's Harvest does custom formulations as well. So the minimums are usually very low, depending on the product that you're interested in. And for products that are in stock, they ship within one business day after your account is set up. So very easy to work with. They have a wide selection of different products for you. And all you have to do to find out more is you can go to their website at oliversharvest.com/wholesale to find out more information. And now back to our show.
And when you mentioned this company that they're targeting this demographic, so in the States, we can't make these medical claims. So how do you go about having that conversation where you're saying, or maybe just insinuating, hey, you know, we're here to help people with recovery with these products, but you cannot outright say that? Like, what's that practically like?
Yeah, so it's always difficult. And our verbiage is always so particular. And this is, you know, one of the complications in the industry. Why a lot of people do bring us on is because it's so difficult to navigate. But to answer your question directly, obviously, when you are technically, quote unquote, making a direct claim like that, you need to be very careful. So what we say is recovering addicts use this. That's it. You're not making a claim. You're not saying that it helps with recovering addiction or anything like that, because that's where the claims come in. You're flirting a little bit too much with the red tape. But if, for example, you want to target yoga users, just use the verbiage that yoga users use. You know, very different niches have very specific verbiage. Same in the CBD. You know, we use things like full spectrum, broad spectrum. You learn the language. When you start applying the language to the niche that you're focusing in, that starts to apply and people do pick up on it. If you want to make a direct branding association with a different niche or a pivot, what it comes down to is obviously saying things like yoga users use our product, or a great supplement for yoga users. You're not saying this product helps yoga users' joints, or this helps your body recover. There's no claims. You're just saying this product is for this specific type of person. And you can find different ways to word it. You can be really, really clever. And that is one of the things you can use to differentiate yourself as well.
Okay. It also, imagery has a big deal or a big impact on that. Just you know, having images that are cohesive with that audience. So you mentioned yoga, so maybe people doing yoga, or you know, people in like yoga wear, really good something point. Like that using the product.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Honestly, imagery is it speaks, you know, that old saying of an image speaks a thousand words. It really does. So obviously, if I go to a website and I see their banner is immediately people doing yoga, and then I see someone holding a product, I'm like, okay, I know exactly who this product appeals to and who they're trying to target. So that's a very good point. I think images are important. Same with the branding. If you do want to niche down, think about the way you're branding your product. Is it light green? Is it like a very holistic color? Is it a calmer color? Is it a color that appeals to pets? You know, things like that. Different colors have different associations with different niches.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of, switching gears, what do you make of SEO?
So yeah, this is actually something I haven't mentioned yet. I think SEO has a lot of value. I have never been fully involved in SEO, and I think it's a very slow process. Unfortunately, I am very analytically inclined. My team is the creative side, I'm the analytical side. So I look at things and I try to reverse engineer them, and I like to see that things are matching up with numbers. So, you know, for example, the email marketing. Send out an email, you see exactly what revenue is generated from it, and you see which users opened it. You can really start pinpointing what's working, what's not. SEO is such a long process. That's why we've never dabbled in it. I feel like we wouldn't do justice. And yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. I'm not too sure what to make of it, which is kind of ironic because I'm in the industry. I've been in the industry. I think it does have value, though. I've seen great companies do even greater with great SEO. I've seen great companies do even worse with worse SEO. So it really comes down to, I guess, who and how you're utilizing SEO. But yeah, I mean, what do you think of it?
Well, it's one of those things where it's a weird space where you almost have to say, I'm going to invest in this for the next 12 to 24 months and see what happens. And so at first it seems like throwing spaghetti on the wall and see, okay, well, people are responding to this. I've sometimes gone into it and then backed away because, you know, naturally in any business, you have all these different things you have to pay attention to. And SEO is very much you have to be very patient and stick to a strategy when sometimes you don't know if that strategy is going to work for months.
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue. And the other side of it as well is, I don't know whether it's just me that doesn't grasp it, but it seems so complicated. I wish it was a simpler way to understand SEO and know, okay, step by step, this is what I need to do and this is the result I will see. But it seems very in the air. And that's obviously, I'm more of a solid analytical, if this happens, this will happen. So it is very difficult for me to grasp. So I wish there was a simpler way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think the way that I think about SEO is some sort of research, and there are a bunch of tools out there like Ahrefs, SEMrush, and there are a million different ways to analyze. You know, here are some potential keywords that we can go after. And one of the ways that I recently learned about tracking SEO before you see actual results is, are you gaining some sort of position based on your keywords in Google, right? You might not be like in the top 10, right? Because that's a huge challenge, especially in this industry. But are you getting any of your keywords on there? And then over time, you should be getting more and more keywords and building it. And so then that's some success, at least that you're being recognized in a way. And then it's a different challenge, of course, to get it to the first page, which is, man, it is highly competitive in this industry.
So competitive. I mean, so competitive. One of the tools that we actually used to use is, it's a tool called Keywords Everywhere. It's actually a free tool. Yeah. And it literally tells you, if you go onto Google and you search CBD, it tells you on the right, which are the keywords associated with that. And one of the ways that we've been working with another company and their SEO guy is, a lot of the time, all you have to do is start writing blogs that keyword, obviously, have a lot of backlinks. So, you know, making a very clear image is just blogs, number one, number two, backlinks. Number three, one of the things that is interesting and a strategy that they're starting to test out is having a blog page that is actually hidden. So it's not published. And they're still writing blogs on there that making the claims, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're searching CBD for XYZ, it comes up, but it's not actually on your website. You're not being flagged for it. So just a little tidbit if anyone wants to try that.
I've seen that from some of the big, like top five or so companies. They have exactly what you're saying. They have a blog website, and the articles are very well written, and then inevitably they link to, you know, their page. But they can make the claims, but then they're not associated with, you know, the public facing company.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they don't have to deal with the restrictions of that.
Yeah, yeah. So then let's see, with looking forward a little bit, do you have any insight that you want to share about where you see the industry going? Whether it's regarding cannabis, you know, like legal cannabis or hemp in general, like where do you see things moving in the next year to 2 years?
Yeah, sure. So I think I probably share the same insight as everyone else. You know, I wish I had more of an individual outlook on what could happen. But I think definitely legislation is seemingly decreasing a lot more in terms of restrictions, which is great. But the other issue that poses is a lot more saturation in the market. So I think one of the things that's going to happen is, and this is more on the company side, saturation, of course, competition is going to rise. The second thing that's going to happen on the audience side of things, or the customer side of things, is definitely a lot more sophistication in buying. That's why differentiating yourself at this point is very important, because at that point, I think a year or 2 years down the line, I think it's going to be very commonly used, and it already kind of is. So differentiating yourself, very, very, very important. And end customers are a lot more sophisticated than we think. The smoke is gone. People know what is happening in the industry. People know what the product does. So it comes down to, we can't use it as a selling point anymore. So that's the second thing. Now, in terms of the plant itself, I personally feel a lot of excitement around it. Obviously, I'm coming from a country where it is a lot more restricted, which is why I feel that excitement, because I know what it's like to have those restrictions. So what I think is going to start to happen is we're going to see it play a lot more of a role in medicine, obviously, a lot more of a role in hospitals, in your regular doctor's rooms, et cetera, et cetera. It's not going to be this taboo thing. It's not going to be just restricted to homeopaths. But that's obviously going to pose a lot of issues to pricing. I have a big, big worry about where pricing is going to go, and the competition with pricing is going to rise, obviously. So it comes down to who's manufacturing the product, how they're manufacturing it, and whether it is trustworthy, and whether the pricing is competitive. So that's more on a macro view. I think that the plant is going to become a lot more, I guess, socially acceptable, a lot more acceptable in terms of products, you know, beds being made out of hemp. We're already seeing it, shoes made out of hemp. I think it's going to take that positive turn, and we're going to see a lot of opportunity there, not just as a business, but just as a consumer market of what we can get access to and how much we have access to.
Interesting. Okay. We're coming up in the last few minutes here, but I can't let you go. You've mentioned differentiation a few times. I got to get back to that. So you are, let's say you're a new company and you see the landscape, all these different companies that are, you know, giant and then small, and they seemingly look the same to somebody that's new. Like, how do you start thinking about differentiation? Like, I'm starting out, like, man, like, what can I do differently? Like, how do you think about that?
So the way that we usually talk about it with customers, because we get this question a lot, actually, is, you know, how do you make yourself different? And the fact is, it's difficult. Everyone's kind of doing everything. You know, you can't think of new things anymore. So I always say, look at the big players, look at how they've gotten attention, look at the way that they've managed to do it and what they're constantly doing on a macro basis and a micro basis, and try to mimic that. It's difficult when you are just starting out and you're looking at someone who's been doing $1 million a year in revenue, right? So that's an unrealistic view. But look previously, look historically, the data is all there on what people have put out in terms of content, what's gotten the attention, what kind of branding they've used. I think make it a very, very, very clear stance in the industry. Like I said, try to niche down a little bit at first. You're not narrowing yourself down. You actually are opening a big gateway because people are going to trust you a lot more. And in terms of differentiating yourself and how you market yourself, I think make use of videos, make use of education, make use of just being transparent. I think that's actually the biggest thing. A lot of companies are talking about, hey, we have this product, we have this, and it does this. No one is talking about the transparency behind the company, why they're doing what they're doing, how they're doing that, the behind the scenes. Everyone's very quiet about that side of things. I think if people are a lot more open about that, that will be a big differentiating factor.
Interesting. Okay. Can I share with you how I think about differentiation?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is completely unhealthy, and I would not recommend it to most people. But I think, you know, having gone through this a few times, I feel like you, and maybe this is just for my personality, I feel like you have to obsess about it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Is okay, like, you know, here's who we are. And not that you have to delay getting started or doing the thing, but you almost have to say, okay, we're going to figure out how to have a point of differentiation and just obsess like crazy. And that means looking at the other company, like studying it, like setting time aside to study what are the other companies doing, with the few companies that are public, reading some of their SEC filings, because they do mention a little bit, to an extent, what they are doing, because they're trying to attract investors. So there are some hidden nuggets inside those filings. Looking on forums, Reddit, Facebook groups and whatnot. And oftentimes you'll see people mentioning companies and saying, oh, wow, I love this company because of X, or I can't stand this company because they did this. And you know, it seems like over time, it's like you start to learn how to read the Matrix, right? Like you remember the movie where like all the green stuff was falling down the screen and people are like reading it.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's like at first it just seems like, oh my god, like there's just way too much, and then like you start seeing some little keywords here and they're like, oh, I wonder about this and I wonder about that, and like you start forming some connections about where you might be able to go in. And it doesn't mean that that's the thing, but at least you start venturing into that and then analyzing, okay, well, this is not working, but we're going to try this and maybe this is working, and then just getting deeper and deeper into some of those sections. So that's sort of how I think about it, because it's something
that's I think that's a good point. I don't think it's important to obsess over it. It's a really good point to bring up. I think it's more so trying to simplify it. Pick what you want to do a little bit differently and stick with it. And then as you build, you'll figure out how to do things a little bit differently, even more so.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jade. Well, this was awesome. How can somebody get a hold of you? If they want to learn more, just connect with you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm very easy to contact either via email, which is jayde@canascale.net. Super simple. And our website is canascale.net as well. You can go to canascale.co, canascale.net. Either one works. And yeah, my email will be on the website. You can feel free to contact me there. Otherwise, LinkedIn, Jade Laws, JAYDELAWS, super simple.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then, you know what? We should do a second round, because I would love to talk about how you do prospecting and sales. Like, this is how we connected. And I would love to dig into that
and see how
you do that. So we'll have to come back.
Yeah, I think we could definitely revisit that conversation for sure.
Awesome. All right, Jay. Well, thank you so much. Great. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, and thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, and before you go, this is Jason from Spectrum Labs. Please be sure to visit us on the web at thespectrumlabs.com for any show notes and links discussed in the podcast. Also, remember to click the subscribe button wherever you may be listening from so you get notified when our next episode comes out. And tune in next show and have a fantastic day.